The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
This afternoon, we want to look at keys to being spiritually strong to the end. Can we please bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you're a loving and faithful God. Thank you because you're a God that is never careless. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for the way you've been speaking to us since the beginning. Lord, we return of glory and praise to you in the name of Jesus. As we go into this session, Holy Spirit, I pray you breathe over your word. You will give us understanding. Let your word have an eternal impact in our lives. I pray, Father, you will speak through me that your word will not fall to the ground in the mighty name of Jesus. Can that amen sound louder? Yeah. Thank you. Now, what we're about to talk seems to me to be the A to Z of Christianity and of ministry. And I want us to listen very, very closely. Now, can we look at that scripture again? Ephesians chapter 6 from verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6. From verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to we stand in the evil. They haven't done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the element of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and washing thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Amen. Now, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you go through scripture from the Old Testament to New Testament, we see that God enjoins believers to always be strong in the Lord. And if we are looking at being strong spiritually till the end, then it means that it is what you have that you keep till the end. If you are not strong now, you can't remain strong till the end. Now, if you look at it, in Joshua chapter number 1, verse 6, God was speaking to Joshua, and I believe if he says to one, he says it to all. He said, be strong and of good courage. And I get to verse number 7. Only be thou strong and be very courageous. He repeated the same also in verse number 9. For emphasis, have I not commanded you, be strong. God wants us to be strong in the Lord. If you're strong in the Lord, it means that you are spiritually strong. Any Christian that is not spiritually strong, you need to start all over again. Now, we have this in the booklet, so I may not read all the scriptures. Let's just read a few of them, and then we can go through on our own. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit you like men, be strong. Very important. Very important. The Christian the devil fears are Christians who are strong in the Lord, who are spiritually strong. So we have no choice but to be spiritually strong all the days of our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be spiritually strong is to be spiritually sharp and not dull. And the Bible says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 10, say, if the iron be blunt and it do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. Let me stop there. It's unfortunate there are many Christians today that are dull. Even ministers of the gospel, they are dull. And if a person is dull, whatever thing you do, you struggle. And that's why we must sharpen ourselves and remain sharp all the days of our life. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 15. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountain and beat them small. That is what God wants to make of us. A sharp threshing instrument in the kingdom of God. You can't be a sharp threshing instrument in the hand of God if you are not spiritually strong. You can't. Hallelujah. So let's first of all look at how we can be spiritually strong. If you are not spiritually strong, you won't talk about being spiritually strong till the end. I don't want to thank God for those who have ministered to us from the beginning. Of course, we've been hearing those things again and again. And let me just add a little bit to what we've been hearing. They've been telling us all along. Hear me. To be able to fulfill and finish our assignment on earth without stress, we must be spiritually strong. Let me talk about reason why we need to be strong spiritually. To finish our assignment on the face of the earth without struggling. Oh, I've seen a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers who are just struggling and struggling and struggling. Not because God wants them to struggle, but because they are not spiritually strong the way they're supposed to be. Number two, to avoid falling in our walk with God and eventually make heaven at the end, we need to be spiritually strong. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, hear what the Bible said. For said Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas was not ordinary person. If you read what the Bible said in the book of Philemon, Demas was one of the laborers with the Apostle Paul. One of those who labored with him. We probably will say one of the ministers with him. You probably will say one of the people who was supposed to be an apostle with him. But the Bible said he has departed. Paul said he has departed from me. Hallelujah. So if you don't want to fall in our walk with God, you don't want to backslide, you don't want to be by the wayside, then we must be spiritually strong. Just like that, he said the other time, I give thanks to God, I got born again as a teenager. I was just 19 years old when I gave my life to Christ Jesus. And of course, we have this kind of issue background. And I give thanks to God till today. I have never had any dull moment. Not for a single time. Even when I work in the industry and things seem tough and then all kinds of things all over the place, I remain in the Lord. No dull moment. In my company, I had problems. Because they wanted me to do it the way they do it. I said, no, I won't do it the way you're supposed to do it. I'm a child of God and I remain a child of God. This is how it's supposed to be. So if you don't want to fall by the wayside, if you don't want to backslide, if you don't want to be at the other side, you have no choice but to remain strong spiritually. Hallelujah. And again, To be able to overcome all the wiles and the temptation of Satan, we must be spiritually strong. We have to. Here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the one we read the other time, said, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about it? This person who was an apostle of Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot. Judas drank directly from Jesus. He saw Jesus face to face. He was taught by Jesus face to face. He had impartation from Jesus face to face. But the Bible said in Luke chapter 22 verse 3 that Satan entered into Satan and into Judas. And he fell by the wayside. There is no one that cannot backslide. There is no one devil cannot take over. No matter how strong you are, no matter how you think that you are a big person, please be careful. There's no one that cannot fall. And that is why you can't afford but to be what? Spiritually strong. Amen. 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 And of course, you remember the Bible said, because of 2 Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are in the last days. And there are perilous times everywhere. Hallelujah. Now let's go a bit further. What makes me spiritually strong? Of course, from the text we read in that book of Ephesians, it told us everything that we need to do, everything we need to put in place in our life, that we make us spiritually strong. I may not be able to speak extensively about them. Let's just speak them one after the other. You remember one of the things he talks about is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In that Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can't afford to joke with the word of God if we want to be spiritually strong. We had this in the morning. It's extremely important. There is no one, no believer, no minister can be spiritually strong if he neglects God's word or he takes the word of God with levity. Now, look at what the Bible said. In Isaiah chapter 34, verse number 16, Isaiah 34, verse number 16, it says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Let me stop there. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and do what? And read. The first thing the Bible talks here is that you read it. Read the word of God. Again and again, read the word of God. But God wants us to go beyond just reading the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The second thing he talks about here is study. The first he says, read it. He went a bit further. He says, study. You know, study is deeper than just reading. And that is why what he told us in the morning is so important. Having all versions of the Bible. Hey, there are times when you see me just read, not because I want to preach, but I'll just study the Bible. You would think I want to write exams. You would think I want to write exams. Somebody enter my office sometimes ago and I saw everything. Say, what, Pastor, what is that? Now, are you preaching? I said, I'm not preaching, I'm just studying. I'm not preaching anywhere. I'm just studying it. Building myself, developing myself. So he said, read, that's the first one. He said, go further. Not only must you read the word of God, then study it. You can't be strong spiritually if you don't give attention to the word of God and study it. And when you are studying, you compare scriptures with scriptures. You look at the version, you look at the other version, you look at this and read together. And then you'll be able to understand exactly what the word of God is actually talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17. It says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When you read, you study. Now, the word of God, you give attention to it for you to be thoroughly furnished, to be perfect. A minister that is able to divide the word of truth correctly, accurately. Hallelujah. It is not that you come, you are supposed to minister, and then you get to the podium, you begin to praise God. Praise God is more than the preaching you want to do. Why is every time, praise God, amen, amen, amen. He probably doesn't even know what to talk again. Hallelujah. But a man of God that is thoroughly furnished, that is the man of God who gives attention to the word of God. Somebody say a big amen. Amen. And one more thing here in the book of Psalm chapter number 1. You remember the Bible says, read from verse number 1, talks about a man that is blessed. Praise God. Verse 2 said, but his delight is in the law of God, and he meditates on it how? Day and night. So you also need to do what? To meditate on it day and night. Now the next thing we need to do for us to be strong in the Lord is prayer. It's not enough for you to study the word of God, but also to give attention to prayer. Verse 18 of that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about praying all manners of prayer. I've seen people who give attention to a lot of reading of the Bible, putting aside prayer. They will be half-baked. So the two goes together. Knowledge is important. Oh, we heard about knowledge the other time. Oh, I also attended Bible school. But beyond that, you add prayer. Paul the apostle said, Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, thereabout, he said, we're able minister of the gospel. If for you to be an able minister of the gospel, you combine knowledge with prayers. Hallelujah. And apart from prayer, Jude chapter 2, verse 1, verse number 20. Say, build up your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Spirit. The fourth thing that you need to do for you to be spiritually strong is the truth. Talks about the truth. The truth talks about integrity. Truth and righteousness. Integrity. Righteousness. Quality of being morally right. Or to be justifiable. To be upright. All of these things are part of the things that make us strong spiritually. And he went further to talk about faith. Faith is extremely important. Permit me to put it this way. Ability to prayerfully apply the word of God to meet your need and to overcome the devil. I've seen people praying and studying the Bible, and at the same time you wonder, there's one woman. If you see her praying, you almost say, Lord, God, help me to pray like this woman. And read Bible. But any little thing, very fearful. Full of anxiety. One day I was angry. I said, what kind of a person are you? What is the purpose of all your prayers and then the Bible of God? And little things, then you are afraid. No faith. No one can be strong spiritually without faith. The faith that comes by the application of God's word prayerfully to overcome the devil, to put the devil where the devil belongs. And then to have your needs met. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the last section of it. Keys that makes me spiritually strong or make us spiritually strong till the end. Like I said the other time, it is what you have that you keep till the end. It is when you are not spiritually strong that you talk about being that spiritually strong till the end. There are three things. The first thing is commitment. Anything that takes a man up there, if you want to remain up there, you continue with the thing. If you stop the thing that takes you up there, you are coming down. So if all of this thing we talked about makes you spiritually strong and you want to remain spiritually strong to the end, then you must be committed to everything. Committed to the word of God. Committed to prayer. Committed to faith. Committed to truth and to righteousness. And commitment is giving oneself totally to the cause of an action. Is to be dedicated to the thing that we are talking about, the thing that makes you strong in the Lord, that makes you spiritually strong, you will become committed to it. Oh, there is a tendency for men of God today, or ministers of Christians, especially those who preach, to only do studying and reading the Bible when they want to go and preach. He's not a committed person. If you are committed to the things of God, you are committed to God, you are committed to service, you are committed to faith, you are committed to the word of God, you are committed to prayer, you do it not only when you want to pray or you want to preach, but every time. Commitment. Make a person to do it against all odds. Whether it is convenient or it's not convenient, you are at it. Even if you don't feel like doing it, commitment makes you get at it at every point in time. You remember what happened to Paul and Silas in Acts of Apostles chapter number 16 when they were kept in prison and the Bible said their feet were stuck in chains. They had been beaten. And in midnight, the Bible said they began to sing praises and pray to God. It was commitment that made them to be able to do such things. And when that happened, heavens opened. The power of God came down. All kinds of things happened. And if you read that chapter from the beginning, you will see what made them put them in prison. Because they preached the gospel. Oh, let's get committed to the things of God. Committed to prayer. Committed to the word of God. Hallelujah. Do you remember that the greater passage in the New Testament that was written by Paul, it was when Paul was in prison that he wrote them. It was when he was in prison. What made him to sit down and write that way? Commitment to God. Commitment to the word. Commitment to prayer. Even when he was in prison, he didn't give up because he was committed. I pray that the grace for commitment will rest upon our life in the name of Jesus. He had the word of Paul the apostle. He said in book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 16. Said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid where? Upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That is commitment. Necessity is laid upon me to do it. It is not whether I like or I don't like. It's a must. That's what commitment is all about. Number two, consistency. It's not enough for you to be committed to all of these things that make you strong in the Lord. We must be consistent with it. To be consistent is to be regular. To do the same. To keep doing it. To keep doing it. Just like I said the other time. Whether it's convenient or not convenient, you keep doing it. Hallelujah. Let's learn from the leadership of Jesus Christ. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, how did he start his ministry? With prayer and the word. Went days of fasting. The Bible says, as he was coming from the wilderness, he came in the power of the Spirit. What was he doing in the wilderness? Prayer. And Jesus continued that all throughout his ministry. And he taught his disciples the same thing. Look at what happened in Luke chapter 6, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to do what? To pray and continue all night in prayer to God. So Jesus was consistent with his prayer. He was consistent with the service of God. If we want to remain spiritually strong to the end, we must be consistent with all of these things. He said the same thing in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up into the mountain to do what? To pray. Hallelujah. How did he end his ministry? Prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he prayed until his sweat was like the drop of blood. He prayed all through. Let's be consistent. I beg you by the mercy of God. Not every single one, you said you were a believer, you were a Christian, you were a minister, wherever you are. Be consistent with the word. Be consistent with prayer. Be consistent in your walk with God. Be consistent in your service. Be consistent in everything that you do for God. Somebody say amen to that. God taught me a lesson many years back, where our church is. That was our next neighbor. Is then, before he died, he was Ekenri Olubadan. High chief in Ibadan. His house has been there before we bought the land and built our church. And the house is like an story building. And for years, I've never been to the man's house. It's once in a while when I see him, I greet him. After some years, one Sunday we finished service. And then one of the protocol guys just came and brought my envelope. He said, chief, I shift, I should give it to me. I said, what is it for? I look at it, it was an offering. I said, what offering? Somebody who did attend church is giving offering. I said, okay, I put an offering basket. The following Sunday, he did the same. The third Sunday, he did the same. So I called one of my pastors who was from Ibadan and a prominent family from Ibadan. And one or two of my elders who were elderly people, I said, we need to go and visit that man and pray for him. That was the first time we entered his house. When we entered his house, he was so excited to see us. I said, sir, I saw that you were sending offering to the church. I just saw this. And again, I feel it's about second or third time. He said, pastor, you don't know anything. I said, what is this, sir? He said, I've watched you. I've watched your church over the years. So you don't know. This is my balcony. When I sit on my balcony, there is nothing that is going on in your compound that I don't see. And I don't know. I say, wow. I said, consistently, I have watched your church. Consistently, you in particular, pastor, I have watched you. You say you are different. Say your church is different. Say you don't know. We do service together. The moment you start service, I sit down outside here, except I'm not in the bathroom. The man was a Muslim. So I sit down in the balcony and we start serving from the beginning together. He says, especially when your wife is singing. I don't like missing your wife singing. So you even recognize your wife. I said, God. When we left the house of the man and everybody were going, he said, pray for me, pastor, pray for me. I prayed for him. When we left his house, everybody were going. I stood at the balcony. They didn't know what I was watching. I was looking at the compound of that and I saw that. Everything was clear and open from his balcony. And everybody went. I said, pastor, let's go. They didn't know what I was looking at. I said, if we had been misbehaving here, this man would have seen it. From his balcony, he can see through into my office. I said, wow. I said, God, thank you for grace to be consistent in truth, in righteousness, and in everything that we do. And I learned a great lesson that day. You may not know who is watching you. That is why you do things and do it right. Am I talking to somebody in church? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lastly, it talks about concentration. This has to do with full attention, to be focused. Your ministry assignment, hear me, everybody here, listen. I could see we have a lot of professors, we have a lot of doctors, and so on in this place. Hear me. Your ministry assignment is full time. The vocation, the other thing you do is a part time. Can you hear me? Oh, they say he's a part time pastor. Who is a part time pastor? There is no part time pastor. Your pastoral work, your service to God is full time. Your vocation, the other one that you do is part time. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? God won't reward you for bagging professorship. He will reward you for the service you render to him on the face of the earth. Take note of that. So, concentrate on what God had called you to do. Concentrate on the things that make you spiritually strong in the Lord. Don't lose focus. There must be concentration. Give it full attention. Hear me. Especially those who are ministers in this place, there are tendencies that as we grow in the Lord, that we have a lot of activities, if you are not careful, activities will make you lose focus. And we should be careful. If you want to remain spiritually strong till the end, you must concentrate on that which God had called you to do. Concentrate on the things that make you spiritually strong. Somebody say amen. In Matthew chapter 14, if you read from verse 20, the Bible takes something that caught my attention. You remember when Jesus fed 5,000 people? You remember that story? When he finished feeding them, and the Bible said they gathered together fragments, 12 baskets full of the fragment. And I guess the apostles, they were about to be celebrating that big achievement. They want to be celebrating and probably stay there and be celebrating. You know what Jesus told them? Jesus said, come on everybody, get up. Let's go to the other side. Where was he taking them? Took them straight to the mountain. Forget about this life. There are so many things to achieve. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Don't remain in the euphoria of the great thing God has used you to do. And then you lose your focus. Oh, God has helped you to build a big church. Yes, good. Don't lose focus. Go ahead. Move forward. Don't lose focus. Jesus was telling the apostles, you can't afford to lose focus because we fed 5,000 people. There is no miracle that we perform that should make you lose your focus. There is nothing great that you have done for the Lord that should make you lose focus. He said, come on, let's go. He took them straight back to the mountain to go and pray. Hallelujah. You won't lose focus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me conclude before you come and give me another paper. Hallelujah. In conclusion this afternoon, please take. Okay, let me just first of all just say that. All of these things we talked about, it takes discipline to be able to achieve them. If you're not disciplined, you can't. A lot of discipline. Discipline. In every way, in every form. So that you'll be able to achieve this. And in conclusion, avoid spiritual leakage. Avoid what? Spiritual leakage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, look at the scripture. It says, wherefore, let him that think a stand, do what? Take heed, lest he fall. Any form of sin will cause spiritual leakage for you, no matter how strong you are in the spirit. So avoid sin like a plague. Let me share this my experience, and I close. Like I said the other time, the kind of background that I had was SU. And one of the things that we taught and which we took seriously was the issue of sin. You don't play with sin at all, especially adultery. It was as if adultery was the only sin in the face of the earth. So we are extremely careful. You won't see me hug a lady. To shake a lady, gun self is a problem. It was as if I avoid them like a plague. When we're in university, you will not see me visit a lady and then eat in her house. No, never. I won't. I hardly even visit a lady alone. So I put those safeguards around myself. So at the time, I believed that there is no way I can commit adultery. I said, it's not possible. But God taught me a lesson many years. Let him who think is stand. This scripture became alive to me when I had that challenge. All of a sudden, I found myself struggling not to commit adultery with a person. I said, what is this? Me? This is not possible. But the thing was staring me in the eyes. I said, God, I've never done this before. And I can't do it. I prayed all manner of prayer. But the more I prayed, the more I was attracted to her. I said, God, what is this? Then I stopped all the kind of prayer I was praying. I said, God, tell me, what is the problem? What do I do? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, the girl is not an agent. He's not a devil. She said, God, you are the one that is careless. I said, how, Lord? He said, you become unconsciously, emotionally attached to that lady. I said, how? And I said, I thought about it. I said, this is true. What happened? She had a marital challenge. And it was a serious problem. This one, pastor. This one. So I was looking forward to help her, to pray with her, to get things sorted out. I didn't know I had become emotionally attached. I said, God, what do I do? God said, use your wife. Call my wife, come. There is a problem here. Said, everything you do with her, let your wife handle it. Cut off. And after that, I sat on a geyser. I began to think. I said, God, I don't want a repeat of this again in my life. And God said to me, there are some people that are vulnerable women in the church. I said, God, vulnerable. He said, yes. I said, who are they? And he began to speak to me. He said, all those women who are vulnerable, don't handle their case. Let your wife handle their case. Single women or single adult. Matured single. Oti dagba to lati lokko, iloko is trusting God for oko. Say, be careful with them. Young widows, be careful with them. Women whose husband are not around, maybe the husband has gone abroad, or he comes him, not on a regular basis. So be careful with them. I'm not saying you shouldn't handle their case. So if any of them has any challenge, let your wife handle them. And after she has handled them, let her give you reports. So if you need to pray for them, let your wife bring them. Pray for them where your wife is. And I learned my lessons. Let him that think is stand. Does what? Take heed. Listen for. It's a lesson for all of us. Ministers in the house, if you want to remain spiritually strong till the end, avoid anything that will leak the spiritual strength that you have, which is sin. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Just one prayer. Lift up your voice and pray, God, empower me spiritually. Grant me grace to remain strong spiritually till the end. Lift up your voice and pray that prayer.